Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Tuesday, December 8th, 2015. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, where it's finally cold today. It's cold. It's 68 degrees. But when I went outside, it felt really cold after 85 degrees for months and months and months. Anyway, so I'm so glad it's getting to be winter, so glad it's getting to be the holiday season. And today we're going to be talking about something that relates to winter and the whole idea of hibernating and getting good sleep and rest. And that is we're going to be talking with the inventor of the world's first lightweight wool sleeping bag, 100% wool sleeping bag. And he's going to tell us about sleep and about wool, and I just can't wait to hear all of this. Hi, Patrick. His name is Patrick Clark. He's the creator of Lucky Sheep Sleeping Bag. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Deborah. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be
here. Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you for being here. So first, I'd like you to tell us how you thought of this. But before you even do that, tell us, I know that you have a paleo viewpoint, and that it's not just paleo food, but whole paleo lifestyle. So why don't you tell us about that first, and then you can tell us how the sleeping bag fits into that.
Yeah, that's a great idea, because that's actually where it started. So paleo, the paleo, they call it paleo diet and lifestyle, because diet just is too simplistic. Diet alone doesn't do anything, really. What paleo, or let's just call it ancestral, an ancestral approach to health.
I like that.
Yeah. What that is that is how humans lived when before we had civilization. And there are certain things about civilization that take us away from the health-enhancing qualities of nature and the earth from where we evolved, or you know, from where we came before there was civilization.
I'm totally in agreement with that. There was a time back in 1987, to be exact, where I had, in 1985, I was looking around at the world that we live in, and I was saying, wait a minute, this doesn't work, that I had already found out about toxics, and I said, there has to be some other model besides industrialism. And I went to live out in a forest for 2 years. It turned out to be 2 years. And I came to the same conclusion that we're alive. We're part of nature. I say part of nature because it's not like nature is nature and we're something separate. It's not us and nature. We're an integral part of the whole natural world. And we have forgotten that. And as I started looking at, well, how did people live before there was industrialization? They lived very much as nature is. And that's the context that this wool sleeping bag that we're talking about fits into.
Exactly, exactly. And the thing that we didn't realize until recently, like, you know, science and medicine didn't think about certain things like sunlight, like earthing and grounding, like water gets destroyed by civilization, basically. Mm-hmm. All the important things that we used to be connected to and now we're separated from.
Right, exactly. And all those things, the sun and the water and the earth and the foods and everything, all contribute to our health. And now we have this idea of health that's completely separated from that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So within that context, what led you to the sleeping bag?
So I was actually working in an organic bedding company called Carolina Morning Designs. And I had multiple chemical sensitivities, and this was about 10 years ago or so. I was detoxing my home environment and my work environment, getting rid of all the plastic and cleansers and, you know, everything, rebuilding an entire house that had only natural ingredients in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that all figured out, and I knew all about organic bedding from been working in the industry and engineering and manufacturing. So, but the thing is, I was, I've always been an outdoor adventurist. And I have a major in outdoor recreation, and I've spent, you know, many, just, you know, lots and lots of my life backpacking and camping and exploring nature. And I couldn't do it anymore because there was nothing organic, that there was nothing non-toxic.
Right, right. I know. You go out, if you want to go outdoors, then you wrap yourself in a plastic sleeping bag and put yourself in a plastic tent. And that's not being connected to nature.
Exactly. And it's almost it's almost worse than a toxic. It is. It's worse than a toxic house, because the chemicals that are on those materials are more volatile than in a solid material.
So, well, tell us something about those materials that are in a sleeping bag and a tent.
So, the toxic kind, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They have to make them, you know, light and waterproof, and so the problem with, let's just go with sleeping bag. I mean, tents are pretty obvious, because they just spray them with crap. You know, they just coat them with, like, the most toxic, volatile things. It's almost like paint. It's so volatile, most of it.
It's a waterproofing agent, and a lot of those are very toxic.
Exactly. And flame retardants. They're very strict on that, because of the fire that you might be around when you're camping.
I was going to ask you about that, because it seemed to me that they would be. And then you're sleeping. Oh, my God. You're sleeping in, I mean, I haven't been camping in a long time, but I, as a child, I was a Girl Scout, and I have spent many nights sleeping in a tent, and you kind of zip yourself in this plastic tent, and there's no open windows or ventilation, and you go out into the wild where the air is clean, and then you zip yourself into this plastic bag.
Yeah, you get it. It's a real contradiction, and you're, you know, it's like we have this phobia to nature. You know, we don't want a bug in or this or that. So, like, you know, we go out there and then we put ourselves in the same bubble we were already in.
Yeah, a fire retardant plastic bag. Oh, my God. Anyway, I was just looking at the clock and I thought we were almost to break, but we aren't. Go ahead. Keep going.
And so as far as the sleeping bag, you know, then that's, you know, you got your plastic fabric, and then you got your inside insulation material. And so those, they're usually not as toxic as the tent, but the problem is your skin is right next to them, and they stop your skin from breathing, and they collect moisture. And when they collect moisture, they do two things. They become moist, so they hold moisture right near your skin, and they also stop the electrical flow that is along your skin, called piezoelectricity, and they short circuit that electrical flow. So between those two factors, they're interrupting your sleep quality, and they're causing it so you can't even have a natural sleep. So you're going out into nature on the ground. You know, you could have fresh air, you could have grounding, and you could have, you know, non-toxic things, and you can't even go into a natural sleep. So that's exactly what you know, ancestral health is trying to put us into, the natural environment, so our body can go through its natural rhythms and processes so that it can achieve health.
Wow. I just, you know, when you say that, it so resonates for me, that I want that for my body. And it just, when I think about times that I've attempted to do just that, it's like sorting that out and figuring it out as something that's something separate and different from our industrial way of thinking. It requires some research and some understanding of what that might be. But we're going to talk about that today on the show when we come back. We just need to go to break in just a few seconds. But when we come back, Patrick, let's just start with talking about the sleeping bag, and then we can move into all those other things that are so important that it fits into. And we'll find out, what is a sleeping bag and why should you sleep in one? You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Patrick Clark. He's the creator of Lucky Sheep, the world's first lightweight wool sleeping bag. And you can go to his website, woolsleepingbag.com, and find out more. He's got a great video there where he's in the sleeping bag and you can see it out in nature, and he explains all how it works. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Patrick Clark, creator of Lucky Sheep Wool Sleeping Bag, and he's at woolsleepingbag.com. So, Patrick, tell us what a sleeping bag is, and how is it different from a blanket? And I think we should probably say that we're talking about sleeping outdoors, but you could sleep in a wool sleeping bag indoors as well.
Yes, you certainly can, and it has a big advantage. First, I want to talk about that. It has a big advantage sleeping indoors because basically you could save on your heat, and we heat our houses at night. It's really unnecessary. It's a huge huge design flaw in basically our mentality, because we think we have to have the air warm. Well, we don't. We just have to have enough insulation around our body, and our body can generate enough heat. I actually thought about that a lot before I designed the sleeping bag. I was asking that. Why am I heating the house at night? I'm not using it, the air.
Well, I agree with that. And I like to cuddle up in, I actually sleep in wool. Obviously you've just invented the sleeping bag, so I don't have one. But I have a wool mattress, I have a wool comforter, I have wool blankets, I have a wool pillow. You know, it's all wool. And so I can get nice and cozy in my bed and have it be, well, it doesn't get that cold here in Florida, but it can be like 50. And I like it cold outside. And I know that, like, when I would go to my in-laws' house at Christmas time and I'd stay overnight and they've got the whole house heated and I don't, it would just be too hot.
Yeah, exactly. It's stuffy.
I couldn't sleep. It's stuffy.
We know you're good. I know you love wool and you know wool, and that's the thing. It's a huge design flaw, because you know, if you're saying how can we create the best sleep, well, science knows that you sleep better when it's cold. It's part of this whole ancestral approach. You sleep better when it's cold. So if you go in, you know, if you can get inside a something warm, a blanket or a sleeping bag, and have the air cold, you're breathing the cold air, and you're letting your body generate heat instead of allowing the air to be hot or warm, and your body doesn't have to like work up against it. So first off, it increases your quality of sleep even indoors, because you can cool the air down and you save on energy. But as far as the sleeping bag being, what is a sleeping bag versus a blanket? So a sleeping bag is there's two things to it that make it a sleeping bag. One is that it's not a blanket. Like, there's a difference between a blanket and a comforter. So it's a comforter. It's not a blanket. A blanket is denser and not as warm as a comforter. And we know that. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's an everyday kind of thing. So it's got to be a comforter to be a true sleeping bag. And then the shape of it. It needs to be something that you seal up in, so that there are no drafts, there's no place that the air can come in, because one little tiny, like tiny, tiny little draft is going to affect the performance. So the reason why you would want a sleeping bag indoors instead of a comforter indoors is because you can get the air even colder than you could, or you know, you can be warmer. A sleeping bag is going to be warmer than a comforter any day because of the draft issue, the draft coming in.
Right. I was noticing that, you know, usually when you make your bed really carefully the way you're taught, you tuck in the sheets and blankets all very carefully around all the edges, and then you put the bedspread on and stuff. And I was noticing when I took my comforter out this year that I just kind of threw it on the bed, and then I kind of snuggled it around my body. And I really noticed that it was like I was wrapping myself in it instead of having all this cold air in the bed. You know what I'm talking about? I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you want in a sleeping bag. And you naturally tend to try to make a blanket do that, which you can do.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, but a sleeping bag just kind of wraps around you. Now, here's a question that I have for you, because I have slept in a fair amount of sleeping bags of different types. Yours doesn't have a zipper. And am I correct? Yours doesn't have a zipper.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah, okay. And so I'm asking that because the worst part for me of sleeping in a sleeping bag is the cold zipper.
Oh, yeah.
Precise. So tell us about your design with the sleeping bag.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, you know, it was once I figured out how to make it out of wool, and then before I put it on the market, I tried different designs, and I tried a zippered one, a traditional zippered with a hood, and then I found out about this way of doing it where you can wrap it around you, and it doesn't have to have a zipper, but the funny thing is there's no draft. There's absolutely no draft coming in. So it has these flaps on the side that you tuck underneath you, and when you've got them tucked in like that, you're pulling the bag around you tight, and it's actually less draft than the kind with the zipper. And the reason, you know, there's a whole lot of reasons why this is more comfortable. The main thing is you don't get trapped. The problem with zippers, you're like in this kind of straitjacket. You get in there, and then you're in that like kind of mummy shape, and you can't move. I mean, you can't even move your leg up. You know, you can't get into like a side fetal curl position, which is like pretty much, you know, people love to sleep that way. So
yeah. Well, what's it like to sleep in your sleeping bag?
It's delicious. Okay, it's like unbelievable. I can't believe. It's way better than I even envisioned it was going to be. It's just like I can go out. Like it can be like, you know, it could be 15 degrees, and I could go out, just plop down on the ground, and be toasty warm, and have that incredible, you know, air. And yeah. and not have any worries. It's just so, it's like so light, and it all it feels almost like you can't even you forget that it's cold outside.
Yeah, I understand what that's like. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
So when we come back, I know that you want to have some things you want to tell us about wool. So when we come back, let's talk about wool.
Yeah.
And how it helps you sleep. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Patrick Clark. He's the creator of Lucky Sheep, and this is the world's first lightweight wool sleeping bag, and you can go see it at woolsleepingbag.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Patrick Clark, creator of Lucky Sheep Wool Sleeping Bag, and his website is woolsleepingbag.com. Patrick, tell us why wool.
Why wool? Wool is the best outdoor fabric. For centuries, like more than centuries, I don't know, centuries, whatever, you know, people have used wool. It's the only thing that actually works, period. When it's cold, if you tried cotton or, you know, even it's good, like cotton is good, linen is good. There's other fabrics that are good, but they don't work when it's cold. So it has to be wool, period. And the reason why is because looking at science, the other fabric holds moisture again, you know, it collects some moisture, and that little bit of moisture causes your skin to be cold right there. So if you had, like, say, a cotton fabric, but you had wool on the other side of the cotton fabric, that cotton fabric would compromise the warm ability and would actually be dangerous. If you backpackers know that wool is, I mean, cotton is a big no-no. You can't wear cotton. Your life will be at risk for hypothermia if you use if you use other fabrics.
One of the questions I was thinking of when I knew we were going to do this show is, again, I'll say I've done a fair amount of camping and in the past. I haven't been camping in maybe 25 years. And one of the reasons being I didn't want to wrap myself in plastic. But what I remember is that when you're sleeping outside, and this is one of the reasons why I think that you need to use a tent, although I don't think you're using a tent, but you'll explain after I ask the question, is moisture and dew. And that and that's why you have to have a tarp and put a tarp on the ground and put a tarp over the sleeping bag so that you don't wake up sopping wet. So how does this all work with your sleeping bag?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's something that I've asked that question, and I've experimented with it over, you know, decades, and I've gotten some answers for you there. Okay, so the tent, in the old days people used canvas. Canvas breeze.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, canvas breeze. Canvas is an excellent tent material, for natural camping. And I use it. I actually designed a really nice tent that works, that's canvas, that I can carry in my backpack. I don't have it. Eventually, I'll have that available for people, too. But the problem, it's still actually not quite perfect because it's a little heavy. It's actually, you could do, but it's a little heavy. So what I recommend for, you know, if it's raining, you have to have a tarp. I use a tarp or a tent when it's raining. When it's not raining, I sleep under the open sky, and you know, so you can do that. So under the open sky, you know, if it's not raining and you have dew, you have fog, the wool sleeping bag, it wicks moisture. I mean, it is weird. It's like magic, kind of.
Well, it is. I know that. I know that because that's part of the point of sleeping on wool indoors, like sleeping on a wool mattress or sleeping on with my comforter. I mean, I know that my body is perspiring. I've read that you lose a quart of water. I had a doctor who used to tease about that every morning you're down a quart, like like a car, and that the first thing that you should do is drink a quart of water because you've lost the quart overnight. That's a lot of water, and yet my bed is perfectly dry. And if you sleep on polyester sheets, as I occasionally do in a hotel, cotton polyester sheets, they get kind of clammy. And so I know that wool has this wicking ability, and it just breathes, and it allows all that moisture to pass through the bag. And so I would imagine that even if it got wet on the outside, then it would still evaporate.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens. So it's because the heat of your body, it's responding to that heat. So it's going away from the heat source of your body. So if the dew or even some like rain maybe lands on it on the outside, it tends to migrate away from your body.
Just like it does on a sheep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. It's actually I think of it as fur. It's like a human's substitute for fur since we don't have fur.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you sheep are out in the rain all the time, the rain and the snow, and they're outdoors. And yet their bodies are very protected by the sheep wool. And so when we use wool on our bodies, it has that same protective factor. And I think that if you like do what's called felting, where you put it in water and all the little pieces of wool, they're all in little coils. And that's part of what makes it so resilient and to repel things. And if you wet it, they all kind of come together. And that's called felting. And if you have like a felted jacket or something, the rain just won't go through that. It just won't go through that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually what the Vikings in the 17th century, they made their sleeping bags out of felted wool. They actually had linen fabric and the inside was felted wool. And you can imagine, I mean, they knew how to stay warm.
Yeah.
And so they had this, like, you know, back then I don't think, you know, they knew how to make batting. That's, the batting is like fluffier. It's the same thing as felt, only it's fluffier. And it's also warmer. So you know, they had felt.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Actually, what is the history of sleeping bags? Where did they come from?
So as far as we know, the Eskimos invented them. And so, you know, they're another, you know, coldest place on the planet type,
yeah,
type people. So they, you know, the way they made them was, it was a whole bag, you know, they didn't have zippers back then. And they made a whole bag that it's like a bag. You crawl into this bag, you know, then you crawl out when you went out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and it was, the fabric they used was seal skins, and the seal skins are actually waterproof and breathable, of course. And then they filled them with like fur, like just fur that from a like an animal hide, something. But the problem was, you know, I mean, they were great. They totally work if you have a dog sled to carry them, because they were eight.
They're heavy. Yeah. We need to go to break. But when we come back, Patrick, let's talk about why sleeping outdoors is good for your health. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Patrick Clark, and he is the creator of Lucky Sheep Wool Sleeping Bag. He's at woolsleepingbag.com, and we'll be right back. Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Patrick Clark, creator of Lucky Sheep, the world's first lightweight wool sleeping bag. So, Patrick, tell us about why we should be sleeping outside. You know, I come from Northern California, and I have, as you probably know, there are a lot of forests in Northern California, and I particularly lived in a forested area. And one of the things that a lot of people have there, and maybe in your area too, is that they build these outside rooms where it's like a room, you know, with a roof and a floor, and yet it's open on one side. And so they have a bed in there, and they're protected from the rain and the elements. But there's this big open space of a wall missing, so that it's just like being outside, except they're protected. And so that's not the same as quite as sleeping on the ground, but it's so different from sleeping in a house. So when you talk about sleeping outside, what are the benefits, and how exactly do you do that?
Yeah, well, actually, you're getting most of the benefits when you do that, depending on, you know, where you live, of course. Like fresh air, you're getting fresh air, has way more oxygen, so that's going to enhance your sleep. And, you know, we all know that. It's just kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you're also getting that's the first thing. And then you're actually getting you're getting cold. You're getting cooler.
Yeah, especially in Northern California.
Yeah, exactly. And negative ions is another thing. So then grounding, you know, I don't know if which kind of house you have, but when you're on the earth, of course, you would be more grounding if you were on the earth. But if you got a room like that, you're getting some of that grounding effect. But as far as getting totally away from the house and from civilization, period, I mean, a sleeping bag is your ticket to freedom. You can't really do it without a sleeping bag. And it's just nice to get away from you know, the shackles of modern life sometimes. There's tons of toxins in the air. There's electromagnetic radiation that's upsetting our, you know, our bodies, we live indoors. We have an indoor culture. We live indoors. We don't get exercise. We don't move. We don't get the sun on our skin. We don't get good water. We don't get good air. I mean, you go out in nature, it's like a built-in health spa. I mean,
I love that. Yes, I would agree with you. I would agree with you.
Yeah. So it's just a good thing for most people think, you know, if they want to go on a vacation, they go to a warm place where it's tropics and it's, you know, you have to get on an airplane and go away from home. And I mean, with getting out and sleeping out in nature, going to some natural area near where you live any time of year. I mean, to me, it's way more comfortable to just learn how to adapt to nature than to try to run away from nature.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I think that people were so accustomed, as you said, to being indoors all the time that we don't even know how to be out in nature. We don't.
Exactly, and it's been hard. And that's actually my main mission in life is to be a bridge to help people learn how to get back to nature. And some more like really powerful things that very few people know is that the cold, exposing yourself to cold weather during the winter, is extremely health enhancing. And we don't know that because we're afraid of the cold. It hurts. At first, it kind of hurts. And actually, we're recommended by healthcare professionals. It's kind of common. We kind of, our assumption in our society is that cold hurts you. It hurts your health, and you should stay warm so you can stay healthy. Well, it's exactly.
But every child is taught to put on your jacket, stay warm, or you're going to get a cold.
Exactly. Exactly. And they know, their instincts know they want to expose themselves to cold. So
I love cold.
They always do that. You think it's to make you angry, but they just, it's like children know how to do it. So cold, like what it does, here's a few things it does. It reduces inflammation body wide in your whole body.
Really?
Yes. And I've tried not to get too technical. It burns fat. So if you expose yourself to the cold, it's just going to burn fat, and actually in a very simple, you get almost all the same benefits you get from exercise.
Wow.
Just by being cold. And it increases your metabolism, and when it burns the fat, it does it really effectively, and it actually, what happens is that, I don't know if but fat stores toxins. So you've got.
Yes, it does. It does.
Yeah. So you got toxins stored in your fat. So if you're burning fat, you're burning toxins. You're throwing the toxins out of your body at the same time.
Yes, but I would also add that you actually have to be careful of that because you're releasing the toxins into your body and you can like over release. You also need to be careful about the fact that you might be releasing heavy metals or something, and make sure you're drinking a lot of water and doing things to move those out of your body.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. There's more than one step to getting the toxins completely out of your
body. I just wanted to make sure that people didn't think that they should just go out in the cold and that's all they need to do.
That's
certainly a step. It's like if you go in a sauna, you're going to be releasing toxins, but you have to then drink the water and flush them out. And it's the same thing with cold. You would need to. You could actually drink some nice warm fluids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You would have to balance it out with others to keep it moving in the right direction. And the other thing that cold does is it optimizes your circadian rhythm. So it makes your body like know what time of year, what time of day, so that you're, when you optimize your circadian rhythms, you're in complete synchronization with the way that nature designed your body to work. And the cold alone is going to increase your sleep quality, because when you synchronize your circadian rhythms, you also optimize your sleep cycles.
That's right. I know a lot about circadian rhythms, but why don't you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think that most people haven't a clue what a circadian rhythm is.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Circadian rhythm, it's like there's a certain, it's like your brain is like a microchip, And it's sort of like dictating or orchestrating like what happens in the rest of your body with all the processes that go on in your body. And so everything, there's a neuro signal for everything that happens. So if you're out of sync with circadian rhythm, if you're disconnected from the earth, from nature, because you're exposing yourself to artificial light, electromagnetic fields, and a diet that's not appropriate for your climate, then the timing of your circadian rhythms is going to be off. There's a mismatch between what your brain is programmed to know that that's like the way it needs to be and what's actually happening. People who have problems with sleep, you can actually deal with it by looking at circadian rhythms and finding out what's throwing off their circadian rhythms.
Life is throwing off all of our circadian rhythms. I've been very aware of circadian rhythms for a long time, and yet to completely shut out all the things that affect them and be as if you were in a natural environment so that your body's responding to the light and the temperature and the food that you would be eaten in a natural environment and all of that, very, very difficult, but I think could be done. If one chose to, what we need is we need a retreat where we could go to on a mountaintop and we could handle the circadian rhythms. We could sleep properly. We could eat the food and just know what it's like to live that way.
Well, actually, you have a retreat. I lead those retreats. I'm also a wilderness guide.
Oh, good. Good. Well, yeah, that's a good thing to do. So anyway, we're almost done with the hour. So is there any final words you'd like to give?
Let's see. Well, just one more thing about the cold. Like cold, if it's winter time and you're putting yourself in a warm house all the time or office or whatever, then your body is going to think that you're in the tropics. And that's an example of how your circadian rhythms get thrown off, because your body needs to match the environment. Your brain needs to, you need to put yourself in the natural environment so that your brain is synchronized with that environment.
Yeah, such an important thing.
Yeah, well, and let's see. Well, just another thing, a couple of cool things. People think sleeping bags, it's like your ticket to freedom. It's like having a home away from home. You can travel anywhere, and as long as you have like somebody's porch or yard to sleep in.
But even in a hotel, I mean, one of the worst things about a hotel is sleeping on those sheets, and you can just bring your sleeping bag with you. Anyway, we only have just a few seconds left, so I want to say thank you and give your website again, which is woolsleepingbag.com, and you can go take a look at these beautiful purple wool sleeping bags. You've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.